As massive crowds followed Jesus, he turned to them and said, "When you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers. And anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered to be my disciple. So don't follow me without considering what it will cost you. For who would construct a house before first sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it?" In this passage, Jesus asks anyone who would follow him to think about what it will cost to put their relationship with him first and to set aside every other relationship into second place. And in John 21, verses 15 to 17, it's recorded that Jesus challenged Peter three times with the question, "Do you love me?" And when Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I do," Jesus asks him to look after his sheep. And what these verses show us is that what matters to Jesus is relationship to him. It's not what we can do that makes a disciple, but the quality of our relationship with Jesus Christ, our wholehearted love and devotion for him. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, "Unless you surrender all to me, you cannot be one of my disciples." Oswald Chambers, in speaking in these verses, puts it like this: "Our Lord's primary obedience was to the will of his Father, not to the needs of people. The saving of people was the natural outcome of his obedience to the Father. If I'm devoted solely to the cause of humanity, I will soon be exhausted and come to the point where my love will waver and stumble. But if I love Jesus Christ personally and passionately, I can serve humanity even though people might treat me like a doormat. The secret of a disciple's life is devotion to Jesus Christ, and the characteristic of that life is its seeming insignificance of meekness. Yet it's like a grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. It will spring up and change the entire landscape." This morning we're here to take communion. When Christ asked his disciples to remember him, it was over a simple meal. We're here to take the same meal. And we remember Christ not with stories, not with a monument or a plaque or a faded picture. We remember him together, sharing bread and wine and celebrating the most important relationship we'll ever have. What he asks of us is simply to remember to put our relationship with him first.
I sound very loud from where I am. Very echoey. What an amazing morning. Have you enjoyed it so far? Well, most of you that know me know that I tend to start with a joke just to kind of break the service up. So it's probably downhill from here on in. And I've hidden the stone so I can't get stoned at the end. Okay, right, here we go. Incidentally, this is probably my favourite joke of all time. It's extremely old, so you'll have to forgive me. Inflatable boy goes into inflatable school with inflatable headmaster. And one day he absolutely runs amok with a drawing pin, running round going pop, 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 everywhere. And the headmaster calls him into his study and he says, "I'm very disappointed in you. You've let me down, you've let your classmates down, you've let the school down, and worst of all, you let yourself down." should we open up in prayer? Father, we just adore your presence. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit just settles on every person in this room this morning. And prepares the hearts for what I'm about to share. I pray that it's taken in the right spirit. I pray that it's going to help so many people here this morning. Especially people who have been troubled of late. Or through their lives, Father. Even as Christians, we can have problems. So Father, as I go into the Word, I just pray that right now your Holy Spirit will start to minister to the church. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we do life together, it's most likely over the years we take on hurts. Perhaps an unkind word or something that may have happened to you. And you and I know that church isn't immune from this. When we hurt, we build up walls and defences in our lives. But past hurts, if not dealt with, can stop our move or walk with the Lord. Slowing down, if not stopping altogether, our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. And stalling the Holy Spirit from being effective in our particular ministry, in our capacity as Christians. As a church, we're not where we were, but also we're not where we could be. And I include myself here as well. What I'm saying is some of us are lost in the desert, and some of us are in a spiritual famine, as if we don't know where we're going, as far as the eye can see. And this happens to us so many times. We get to a place of promise only to realize we don't seem to be able to enter in. So this morning, I'm going to share something that hopefully is going to release us and heal us from hurting hearts and injuries and wounds and all the stuff that life throws at us. Our Heavenly Father wants to release us this morning. And cleanse us so he can stretch us and stretch us with more of his Holy Spirit anointing. And so let's join the journey as fellow Christians here at this point and start with this. This place has to be a place of safety. The church, you and I, in this building have to be a church where people feel safe and protected and loved. A safe place for young, a safe place for the elderly, a safe place for you, a safe place for me, a safe place for the worship, and a safe place for the Word of God. A place where we can be vulnerable, but safe at the same time. Where the walls we built to protect ourselves from the past hurts can be dismantled. In an environment where it's safe to be vulnerable. A place where you know that your vulnerability, your hurting and pain isn't going to be abused. The hurt you're going through with our love and support will be a godly environment that brings healing to our spirit and our souls. So how does that hurt or a wounding in our hearts, in our lives, start? It can start when someone says something hurtful to us and we don't seem to be able to get over it. It may even be something we do to ourselves. We may just walk about carrying so much guilt around with us that we find that we're restricted but happy in a strange sort of way with what the Lord has already poured into our lives. Because it seems to us, at the time, that's all we can take and contain within us. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22, of the King James Version says this: the words of a talebearer, that's a gossiper, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So if someone says something really hurtful to you, it can really go deep. It can really wound, and it can really cut to the belly and wounds us. What people say to us or do for us, good or bad, can leave a deep impression on our lives for many years and can leave a lasting impression. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 of the Good News Translation says this: what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. People hurting or cruel may have started, people being hurtful or cruel may have started in your childhood. Or it may have been what a partner did or said. Perhaps it's something that happened in your church. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 of the NIV says this: if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What you will find is, if you keep deliberately hurting someone, what God has placed in you will be devoured. When I first started infant school in Manchester, I was put in a class where the teacher would repeatedly hit me and spank me for no apparent reason whatsoever, and then send me out of the class to sit outside. But as I was going out the door, she would say, "You will never amount to anything." Now, you've got to remember, I was 5 when she said that. I do remember we had a boy in our class with bright red hair, same as me, who would give her absolute hell. Most of the time he wouldn't even come into the class. He'd be in the school field next to our class throwing stones at the window. Did the teacher treat him the same way she treated me? Making him behave like he did? I don't know. Did she have a dislike for boys with red hair? Or was she hurt by someone who knew or loved someone who did have our hair colouring? We'll never know, but she must have been hurting really bad. To do what she did to a 5-year-old boy, which stayed with me most of my Christian life. So it's Ruth remembering hurting people hurt people. But it has no place in the church. The damage it does can last a lifetime. And when we hold on to hurts, it stops us achieving our full potential. We can also hurt and damage ourselves by our own sin. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 16 to 18, David says this: turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. David finds himself in a bad place with God because of his own actions, because he begins to take on hurts from his own sin. But then he goes on to say in verse 20 to 21, guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. A lifestyle that is created centered on God will actually protect us if we find ourselves in a sinful situation. If we follow through a sinful thought, we're bound to find a blockage, because we're separating ourselves from God. That's what sin does. We find sin comes into our life because of situations that come upon us, situations we can't handle. Job said this, "What I feared has come upon me." Let's pause there a moment. What did Job fear? You know, people have been trying to figure that one out since he said it. But listen to what he says. "What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Many people have said maybe he feared losing his wife, his family, his wealth and his possessions. But if you look closely, he says, "I have no peace, only anguish and turmoil." The great I Am, the only person who can bring Job peace. What Job dreaded more than anything was that God had left him. Is that what's on our hearts when we're hurting? We don't want to lose God. Catherine Coleman said, "You can take everything I have, but please, please, don't take the Holy Spirit from me." You can take everything I have, but if God leaves, all we have left is anguish and turmoil. Life and life consequences can hurt deep. Life choices and experiences can leave us traumatized. And if we're not careful, we can end up blaming God. As I look around the church this morning, I believe there are still people who blame God for things that happened to them through life's up and downs in their past. "Why, God, did you let this happen? Why, God, did you let that happen?" And if we're not careful, we'll start to blame God for all our hurt and pain, when all along He would never, ever hurt or make us suffer. But He was there all along by our side with us in our pain and our hurt, weeping with us, but also pouring out His lavish love upon us. What God is doing in our church is only as strong as our ability to be vulnerable and open to Him. We can't share our pain, our vulnerabilities, our hurts, and yes, even our dreams, without fear of talebearers spreading gossip and rumours about what people may or may not have done. Do you think God turns a blind eye to your gossip? Or that He doesn't hear you when you say hurtful things? Or do you think you have some kind of special immunity with God? I'm telling you now, you don't. You don't. We will never ever see revival in this church, or in fact in any church, until we start watching each other's backs and lovingly calling out those who love gossip and scandal. Remember, hurting people hurt people. We need to stop it, because all you, we, I have managed to achieve is a no entry, a roadblock, no revival. We get to a place of promise, and because of what we've said or done, suddenly realize we don't seem to be able to enter in. And it's staring us there, right in the face. Loving each other covers over a multitude of sins. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning, shall we? I want more than anything to see revival in our churches and in our land. And I'm sure you want to see revival too. But it comes at a cost. We've had years and years of prophecy spoken over our beautiful island, as far back as I can remember, that revival is coming. So this morning, Let's break whatever is stopping the church from entering into this promised revival. Let's clean out God's house of all hurt and pain and everything the enemy will put on us. When I shared before about me as a 5-year-old boy, I didn't know why I was being hit or slapped, or that what the teacher said would affect me on a deeper level. I needn't have worried. God loves us the way we are. But if you remember, as Pastor Simon used to say, He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. I get the feeling our Father God wants us to go really deep with this and clean out the uninvited hurts, the uninvited sins, the uninvited trauma, the uninvited woundings, and all the things life throws at us. He wants to restore our spirits this morning. God's beloved. So don't you dare give up. Don't get stuck in your pain. Don't you let anyone say anything hurtful about you that makes you give up. Don't you let anyone who betrayed you or hated you or bullied you make you hate your life. Hate you your life enough that you stop caring and stop living until you see the promise and fulfillment of God's plan in your life. Sonny, could you put that music on again? Just for a moment, I'd like you to hold each other's hands. Don't assume the person sitting next to you is okay, even if you're married to them. You can know a person for years and not realise the hurt and the pain they're carrying. And some of us are so good at hiding it. And that we don't even notice they're in pain. And they're hurting. And they can't get it out of their minds. You may have a fear of rejection. And so never get close to anyone. The only way to cope is just not let anyone in. I was sexually abused between the ages of 11 and 13 by a neighbour. It affected my relationships for years. And maybe you were abused as a child, betrayed by a relative. You still have nightmares about it today. You may be struggling to be a father to your kids because you didn't have one. Or a single mum who struggles to make ends meet so her children can have a decent upbringing. Oh, this is a doozy. Maybe you're trapped in pornography and you tried to get free, but it's eating away at your soul. Or maybe your sin is so dark you assume God could never love you. So you just hate yourself. But nothing could be further than the truth. It's a lie of the devil. A lie of the enemy. Because God hasn't finished with you yet. God hasn't finished with you yet. You can stop holding hands. There's a clip that I love made by the Skit Guys. And part of it shows God with a hammer and a chisel chipping away at this man. And God says, what do you see when you look in the mirror in the morning? And the man says, well, I see me. And God says, well, I have to keep chipping away at you until when you look in your mirror, you see my son Jesus. So if you're ready for our Father God to see more of his son Jesus in you, I'd like you to get yourself down to the front here now. and I want to anoint you with the Holy Spirit. And say a special prayer over you. Come on. This might be your last chance for a while. And if you haven't been healed, and you keep asking Father God for healing, and you haven't been healed, come out the front now. Thank you. Healing here this morning. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will touch you right now in whatever situation you're in, whatever you're going through, whatever pain, whatever physical pains you're going through. Believe that the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father God is going to heal you. And then the Holy Spirit will point to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let me pray over you. In heaven, I loose it all in your capable hands. I now give you, Lord, permission to work powerfully in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me pray a prayer of authority and declaration over you. Father, I take away the rights of the enemy over the lives of these people. Satan, I break your generational hold over God's people. I command you to loose them and let them go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God's holy Son. Free them by the blood of Jesus that has never, ever lost its power. I free you, woman of God. I free you, man of God. I free you, child of God. Mercy now triumphs over judgment. I break off all of those controlling fears, controlling anger, rejection, and every hold of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. I free you to raise to your full potential in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed over all the power of the enemy. We put the enemy under our feet and step up in the grace of God in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.